I just encourage you to put on your calendar next Sunday night to come back, be here, see Jeremy again, and the people from E3 Ministry and I Am Second website. They're going to be giving us updates on all the things that are happening. So just remember that next Sunday evening. Boy, there's so many things on. I'm glad we have 24 hours in the day. We all have the same amount of time. It just depends where we're going to spend it. I would encourage you to spend it for your portion in the world to come, not just here. You don't want to watch the Maple Leafs anymore, Andy. Anyway, so you might as well just come on out to church and get involved in all the things that are happening. And we will see good things for our future. I have to say, don't you just love children? Don't you just love them when they're standing up here? You see their expressions, their face, how they act, how they respond to one another. All you got to do is put a few kids on the stage, and then you just see the whole audience starts to smile as we watch them. Now, today I want to talk a little bit about children. But I want to talk about children from the biblical perspective, but I also want to share and link it to our theme for this year. And our theme for this year is what? A double portion. 2014 is a year of double portion. Whether, if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, I just want to tell you, God has more for you. God has more for you. And you don't have to be shy about stepping forward and taking it. He encourages us. He said, I just wish you knew how much I have in store for you. He said, it's exceedingly, abundantly above all that we would ask or think. And so this year is a year where we've been focusing on, you know, what do you want a double portion of? What is it that you want a double portion of? You need to identify it, believe for it, wrap your faith around it, and I believe that we can have it. Now, today, linking all these things together, I've entitled the message this morning, The Heart Condition to Receive Your Double Portion. The Heart Condition to Receive Your Double Portion. There is a fill-in sheet in your bulletins you can take out, fill in the blanks as we go. The disciples were constantly bickering over who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. We shared this over the last number of weeks. Can you imagine Jesus walking along with a disciple, and he hears it constantly over his shoulder. They're bickering. I'm going to be greatest. No, I'm going to be greatest. No, I'm going to stead as. No, I'm going to. And they were constantly, and like I shared before in the message, you would think he'd turn to them and say, guys, I never want to hear you talking about this again. I don't want anyone talking about they want to be great in the kingdom of God. He never once said that. But what did he tell them? He told them how to be great. And this is the portion of scripture we'll pick up in Matthew 18 and verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus. Now, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, he didn't say, guys, remember what I told you? No one should want to be great. No, he didn't say that. He said, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you were one of the disciples of Jesus, what would you think at that moment? I mean, you don't have the benefit of 2,000 years of people talking about this. You're just hearing this for the first time. They want to be great in the kingdom of God, so he brings a child, sets him in the middle, and says, you know what? If you want to be great, nothing wrong with that. I want you to be great. This is how you're going to be great. Like this little child. I think they must have been bewildered. They must have wondered about it. What in the world are you talking about? Later on in the next chapter, Matthew 19 and verse 14. Again, the children, parents are wanting to bring their children to Jesus. And the disciples were saying, no, we don't want them. And what did Jesus say in verse 14? But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Again, he links children to the kingdom of heaven. I think if we aspire to a double portion, we're aspiring to greatness in the kingdom of God, that we need to take note of what Jesus is saying here. And not just sort of let it be a phrase we use. Suffer the little children, as it says in the King James. Suffer the little children to come to me. We can all quote that verse, but have we ever thought the context? He's talking to men who want to be great in his kingdom. And he says, this is how you are going to be great. So I think it's worthwhile for us to explore what this characteristic of children is that would allow people to be great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, as I was thinking about this, I started reading through the Psalms, and I came to Psalm 131, only three verses, Psalm 131. It's a psalm of David. Now, David was great in the kingdom of God, in the area that he lived. He was probably the greatest king that Israel ever had. They had their greatest influence under David. And also the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And even in generations that came after David, when they did evil and they did wrong, and it said God did not come in and judge them immediately, because of his servant David's sake. David had an ongoing influence beyond even the years he lived, down through the generations, because of the way he was. And God said, that's a man after my heart. That man there, David, is after my heart. He's got a heart just like me. So this psalm of David in 131, I want to read it to you. Very simple. This is David's prayer. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So David in this psalm gives us insights into his own heart. And he says, I have quieted my soul, calmed my soul like a little child that's been weaned from his mother, which is about 3 years of age in Israel's time when a child was weaned from their mother. And we all know little three-year-olds. My dad used to say, I think the cutest age of children they're growing up about three. You know, they're just starting to talk, they just be able to express themselves, and there's just something about watching them, a little child about 3 years of age, and how they behave themselves. David said, that's how I keep my heart before the Lord. I keep my heart before the Lord just like a little three-year-old. And so we realize there's a theme here in the scripture from the teaching of Jesus, from David, who is a man after God's heart, who was a great one of the greatest kings, and his saying, this is how I maintain my heart. I maintain it like a child. So I just went through this, and when I saw that, I just sat down and I wrote out what the psalm said. And it's summarized on your sheet, the summary of Psalm 131. Number one, he said, my heart is not haughty. My heart is not full of arrogance. My heart is not haughty. Secondly, my eyes are not lofty. My eyes are not lofty. Third, I do not concern myself with matters that are beyond me. I just summarized that verse. It said, I don't concern myself with matters that are beyond me. Number four, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Calmed and quieted my soul. And lastly, my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. So my encouragement to you this morning as we're here gathered in this place is that we can lay hold of these five things and say, I want to copy David. I want a heart like David's because his heart was after the Lord. If these were the characteristics, if Jesus said, you need to come like a little child, and David said, this is how a little child is, then we need to look at this a little deeper. So once I summarized the five, then I just sat down and I thought, okay, what are the childlike characteristics that we should maintain based on this? And on the back side of the sheet, you can fill this in as we go through them this morning. Childlike characteristics that we need to maintain. Number one, a natural humility and non-threatening presence. A natural humility and non-threatening presence. A little three-year-old, or even the children we saw witnessed in front of us this morning, they don't have any great achievements, even though some of them memorized some things to say to you, but the way they presented themselves, the way they spoke, they weren't overly concerned about how we thought about it. They just had a natural humility. And their presence didn't threaten any of us. In fact, I don't think there's anyone that was here this morning that would have said, you know, I could have probably done that a little better. You wouldn't want to have come up here, but, you know, we weren't threatened by what they did. There's just a non-threatening presence. They have no achievements, no property, or status to boast about. So we're not threatened by them. They didn't, you know, just amaze us with their degrees. We didn't look at the one little guy standing here and say, you know what? Look at all the property that guy owns. You know, they had no property. They have no achievements. They had no status to boast about. They were just themselves. Children in this way, they're not afraid to ask for help. They don't worry about what you think when they ask for help. And when usually, although, you know, they can put up a bit of an argument, but usually just because of their humility and where they are, you can tell a three-year-old, you know, I don't want you to do this. And they defer. They defer to you because of their nature. Okay, they're also small of stature. Most of us, if we stood beside them, we'd be looking down at them. I'm talking about the attitude that we should hold of ourselves. That we stand before people and not have a feeling like we're looking down at them. We have a feeling we're looking up at others. That we're not boasting about anything that we have above someone else. We're not boasting about our finances, about property, status, or any of these things. We take a humble position just with a natural humility, not an affected humility, not acting like you're humble, but just a natural humility, and that no one is threatened by our presence. I think that is a powerful, powerful characteristic of someone that's going to be great in the kingdom of God. Now here's the second one. An uninhibited nature. That's why we love kids so much. They're standing up here and they're looking around and they're shooting the flashlight in their face and they're down, they're looking around. They're just uninhibited. They're just enjoying life. They're just being themselves. They don't have any inhibitions. Another way of putting it, they have no guile. They have no guile. They're not trying to put on a front. They don't shield their emotions. Any of you remember as your kids were growing up and how that bottom lip can come out so strong when they're upset by something, that lip comes right out and You know, I'm just amazed how that's so natural to a child. You know, they just pout. And then they can change in a moment when you give them something. That big smile comes on their face and they're happy. They're just uninhibited. They're not afraid to, most of them, children, they're not afraid to try something. They don't, there are some that are shy, but overall, most of them, they don't realize that they, you know, I should be concerned how I look about this. They're just standing here doing their thing, you know, and just looking around. They're just uninhibited. We can read in their face what's going on inside. They don't wear masks. They don't project something to someone else. They are just who they are. Now, folks, that is a characteristic of someone that's great in the kingdom of God. You're comfortable in your own skin. You can just be yourself. Now, obviously, we have discretion. And it is good to hold your bottom lip a little bit when you're feeling a little hard done by. There's nothing wrong with that. But not to the degree of guile or to deception or I want to be something I'm not. I want people to see that I am something. So I present myself in this way. And you know that's not really you. You don't tell people your true feelings. You don't express your concern. You hold it all in. There's something about a childlike inhibition that we need to embrace as Christians if we're going to be great in the kingdom of God. That people that are around us, they know who you are because you present yourself who you are. They're not wondering what you're thinking because in the right way, with discretion, you tell them how you're thinking. They're not saying one thing to your face and something else to someone else. They're just themselves. Again, a tremendous characteristic in the kingdom of God. Here's the third one. A simple trust and enjoy the moment without worry. A simple trust and enjoy the moment without worry. Children just have a disposition to believe. Do you have a disposition to believe? Or are you cynical? Do you look at everything and doubt that it's the way it's being presented? You doubt what people say to you. Something looks like a good thing, but in the back of your mind, you go, there's an angle to it somewhere. We think that's sophistication. And also, obviously, there needs to be a level where you're not gullible. But I tell you, I'd rather be gullible than cynical. If I had to choose, I'd rather be gullible. I'd rather choose to believe that people are going to treat me right. They're going to be honest with me. They're not going to deceive me. I'd rather live my life that way and the odd time be deceived than live my life with an attitude of cynicism that doesn't trust anybody, won't put myself out, always guarded, worry about everything that's happening, and live the most of my life that way. And there's a few times you go, yeah, I was right. I'd rather live my life just happy, carefree, trusting people, believing in people, hoping the best about people. Thinking, you know, that's probably not what they intended. They said that, but I know them. They probably didn't mean that. And then get burned a few times. Then put myself in a cocoon and harden myself that I can't enjoy life and I worry about things. We just need to have a disposition to believe. Jesus said that to someone, didn't he? Remember? He said, don't be on believing, be believing. Well, we think, well, I either believe or I don't believe. No, he said, you can choose to be believing. You can choose to just believe what people say. That you'll trust. That's your predisposition. Just a simple trust. And I tell you, most of the time, that will put you in such a favored position that more blessings will come to you because of that simple trust than what you will be taken from you because of it. Now, folks, that is the best advice I could give anybody. Just live your life. Now, that's what the Bible says love is. You hope the best. You believe the best. You just endure some things. That's what love is. And that's this characteristic of a child. Here's the fourth one. An ability to easily forgive and forget. Oh. Kids get in spats. They'll turn and stick their face out at someone, their friend, and they can even get saying words back to each other. Now here's the sad thing when parents get involved. Now the parents get involved, they try to sort this all out, and while they're standing arguing about one another, you look over and the two kids have all already made up, they're already playing again, they forgot the whole thing. We need to be more childlike in that characteristic. We need to learn to forgive and forget. Just let it go. That's the second best advice I've given you this morning, but I tell you, that is a powerful advice. Some people are so tied up in knots. Man, you are living such a miserable life. Your whole view of life is clouded by the offense you feel has been done towards you. And you feel so hard done by. And the feelings of resentment and bitterness build up within you. And it releases all kinds of hormones into your physical body that is not good for you. Folks, just let some things go. Just let it go. Number five, an utter dependence on God. An utter dependence on God. You know the only anxiety that a little child has? They're going to be separated from mommy and daddy. That's their greatest anxiety. I've lost mommy. I've lost daddy. I want to hold your hand, daddy. I want to be with him. You know, you ever see, they got, you know, a little child's there, but now they're looking. They're looking for their mom and their dad. That's a characteristic God wants us to have. Our greatest concern is not what we're going through. It's not what's going to happen. How I can figure it all out. How someone else is going to hurt me. I just need to be concerned if I got hold of Daddy's hand. I'm trusting in him. They don't know how long the trip is. They just keep yelling out, "Are we there yet?" You know, and the Lord doesn't mind us saying to the Lord, "Are we there yet?" You know, I've been praying about this. Are we there yet, Lord? Lord, I've been bringing this need. Are we there yet, Lord? And we as parents would say that, you know, it's a process. We're getting there. We're getting there. And I think sometimes God just says that to us. Don't worry. We're getting there. Yes, I heard your request. I know what you want. And if we just have a trust in God, then we can just relax and just say, you know what? We're getting there. You're going to arrive where God wants you to be. I love this quote from St. Augustine. He said, "Sin is believing the lie that you are self-created, self-dependent, and self-sustained." And now that's a philosophy of the world. Philosophy of the world, it says you're self-created, you're self-dependent, and you're self-sustained. And that is the recipe for anxiety, gloom, discouragement, holding grudges, because everything's depending on the people around you and your work and your efforts. But if you can just come to a point, you say, you know what? I trust in God. And my life verse, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." When you just come to the point where you just know all things are going to work together for good, you can just relax in your embrace. You know, some of my fondest memories, even at my age, is just sort of curled up in my dad's lap with my head against his chest, And I just remember that good feeling, just with my head against his lap and his arm around me as he's reading the paper or whatever. I'm just cuddled up in his lap, and the Lord just loves that as well. So just cuddle up to me. Just be dependent on me. Just realize you're my child. If we do these things, we'll be great in the kingdom of God. You'll position yourself for greatness, and God can begin to pour through you all that he has for us. Shall we stand together this morning? Can I pray for us today? Do you desire to have these characteristics? Then just let me pray for us together. Lord, we just come before you today, and we've read your word, and it does speak to us, and yet we realize how adult-like we become, affected by the circumstances and the life that we have lived, thinking that we are in control and we need to be in charge of everything. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this morning to take on these childlike characteristics, that we would believe the words of Jesus when he said, "This child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Lord, I ask that you would help all of us. Lord, help us to just let go of the things, some matters that are beyond us. We're trying to handle them. We're trying to do something with these matters, but Lord, we just let them go. We let them go into your hand. Calm and quiet our hearts, Lord, today. Allow us to have our hope in you. May this not be just words, but may this be a reality in each one of our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Want you to take that sheet home. Want you to meditate on it. Think it through. Say, how do my attitudes need to change as a result of this? And benefit by what we've read this morning.